Good morning. My name is Samuel, and I will be your assistant during today's conference. I would like to welcome you all to the Grupo Argos conference results for 2016 third quarter. All the lines have been placed on mute to avoid any background noise. After the comments from the speaker, there will be a Q&A session. If you wish to ask any questions at that time, press the pound sign at the asterisk, followed by the one on your telephone. Now, I would like to give the floor to Ms. Natalia Agudelo, Director of Investor Relations.
Good morning. This is Natalia Agudelo, Director of Investor Relations. Thank you for participating in this call, where we will discuss the results of Grupo Argos for the third quarter of 2016. With me, I have Jorge Mario Velázquez, Grupo Argos President, Alejandro Piedrahita, Vice President for Corporate Finances, and Maria Oriza, Manager for Corporate and Stock Affairs. In this teleconference, we will analyze the main financial figures of the report that was sent to you, and additionally, we will share with you facts and relevant information for Grupo Argos business. At the end of the call, we will open up a space for answering your questions. This teleconference is being translated simultaneously into English. I remind you that all our communication, as well as the results reports, relevant information, and presentations are published in Spanish and English on our portal for investors at the page www.grupoargos.com. On the same internet page, we've also made available the presentation that we'll be following during the teleconference. To download it, please go to the section Financial Information, and then in the Report section, where you will find for quarter three, a file called Presentation 3T 2016. I now give the floor to Jorge Mario Velázquez, the President of Grupo Argos.
Thank you, Natalia. Good morning for you and for everyone. Thank you for being here at this teleconference with the third quarter results for 2016. These latest months have had great movements and announcements that we believe are relevant at Grupo Argos that continue tracing a direction to position us as one of the most relevant infrastructure groups in Latin America. As the market knows, and all of you know, we recently reported that we had requested authorization from Colombia's financial superintendent to formulate a public acquisition bid for the stock that Argos Group is not the owner of, and this authorization was received last week, and that makes us very satisfied. We hope to close out this transaction before the end of 2016. Additionally, Grupo Argos signed a purchase and sale agreement to acquire 30% of the stock of Opain S.A., the corporation that operates and manages the El Dorado International Airport air terminal. This participation, together with the 35% of the stock capital that our affiliate, Odinsa, currently owns in the same corporation, places Grupo Argos as the controlling business group of the main air terminal of our country and one of the most important concessions in Colombia, which represents great strategic value and a potential anchor for growth to continue our expansion into the airport business. I would like to take advantage of this opportunity to highlight that in Grupo Argos, we are managing our portfolio such that we seek an efficient allocation of the capital redirected towards the infrastructure sector, using as the main sources of financing our portfolio, which means that there is no relevant impact on our level of leveraging. At the level of its affiliates, as you can see on slide four, Grupo Argos, acting as a strategic architect, has contributed to the definition of its affiliates' strategy, who in turn have made significant steps towards defining their vision as a corporate group in the infrastructure sector. With regard to Audienza, it has carried out concrete and agile actions to simplify its structure, seeking to position the company as one of the main companies in the sector of roads and airports in Colombia, and with a view to focus the corporation's investments in projects always with a majority position. The company has increased its participation in the Pacifico II concession, achieving a participation of close to 79% via an exchange in the participation in the concession of Atovial, where it had 22%, Vías del Nus of 22%, Autopistas del Café, 2%, and the Green Corridor, where it had a 100% participation. It is also important to mention that this project, the financial closing of this project was announced that had participation both from local banks and international banks, an important support for the company that also had support from Grupo Argos. Audienza is also de-investing, carrying out asset de-investments in the Santa Marta Guarapachón concession and the Jena and Genpac energy generators. In turn, Cementos Argos announced during August the acquisition of the Martinsburg plant, located in the state of West Virginia in the United States. This plant will contribute 2.2 million of tons of cement per year, and an increase of 10% of the total installed capacity of the company, and 29% of the installed capacity of the United States, reinforcing the presence of Cementos Argos in this country and market that has huge strategic potential. This transaction already has FTC authorization, and it is scheduled to be closed out today. It's important to highlight that for 2017, the Cementos Argos income will come close to 70% from the United States and Central America, providing the company with privileged geographical diversification, a position that it has achieved thanks to acquisition transactions such as that recently announced. In the real estate business, we would like to highlight that both Citum and Bactia had important announcements framed within the holding strategy to make its investment portfolio profitable. On the one hand, Pactia announced the creation of the private capital fund that allows it to bring in a partner, which in this case is the Protección Pension Fund, that will give Pactia greater flexibility to finance its expansion plan and provide stability for its cash flow. Situm, in turn, has made rapid progress with asset selling. To date, the company is restructuring lots for 47,500 million COP in Barranquilla, which is added to the sale of the El Volador plot of 182 hectares for 182 billion pesos. An important fact was the environmental license recently granted to the Cala Blanca project in Barú. Moving on to slide number 5, in the area of sustainability, it's very welcome the recognition made by the Dow Jones Sustainability Index, where it ratifies for the fourth consecutive year both Grupos Argos and Cementos Argos within this index. This recognition is a reflection of consistent execution of our sustainability policy and our emphasis on responsible and transparent management of the different dimensions of our businesses to generate long-term value for all our stakeholder groups. I would also like to highlight that Cementos Argos was recognized as the cement company with the highest score and therefore the most sustainable cement company in the world, which is a great pride and a great challenge for the future. Before moving on to the results, you will find on slides 5 to 12, I want to mention that as of the fourth quarter of 2015, Grupo Argos is consolidating the results of its new affiliate, Odinsa, and so these figures are not entirely comparable to 2015. Beginning with slide six, the consolidated income of Grupo Argos at the end of September was 10.8 trillion pesos, growing 24% regarding the figure from 2015. This growth is explained greatly by the contribution of 703 billion pesos from Odinsa, which wasn't consolidating its results in 2015, and during this year has seen its income grow very positively with an increase in participation in the concessions belonging to ADN and BTA in Dominican Republic that will allow consolidating this income as of the second quarter of this year. We also highlight the positive contribution of the cement business with 30% growth leveraged on the results of the United States and the contribution from Celsia that presents a variation of 28% accumulated to September and that confirm the positive recovery process that this company is undergoing. Moving on to slide 7, the consolidated EBITDA ascends to 2.7 trillion COP as of September for 30% year-on-year EBITDA growth, which is the result of active portfolio management and good business performance. We would like to highlight the positive contribution of the cement business that achieved 30.8% EBITDA growth for a margin of 13.9% in line with the good management of the United States market and the good performance of Honduras and Haiti. We'd highlight Celsius EBITDA that accumulates during 775 billion pesos during the year, which is a growth of almost 100 billion pesos over the previous year's EBITDA as a result of the operation normalization. And therefore, the concessions business contributes 338 billion COP with Odinsa's consolidation in 2016. Finally, I would like to send you to the slide on page 10 so you can observe how Grupo Argos' net consolidated profit at the end of September was 880 billion pesos, growing 39% over 2015. The net profit of its controlling participation was 258 billion pesos. On slide number 11, we can find the general consolidated general balance sheet as of September 2016. At the close, at the end of this period, assets were at 41.9 trillion pesos, a growth of 1.7% over the figure in December 2015. In turn, liabilities were 19.8 trillion pesos, and equity was 22.8 trillion pesos. Continuing with slide 12, at the end of September, Grupo Argos' separate income was close to 475 billion pesos. It's important to highlight that during the third quarter of 2015, assets, it de-invested assets for a value of 602 billion pesos, corresponding to the sale of the stock that Grupo Argos had in Cementos Argos, which doesn't allow the results of this period to be comparable. Eliminating this effect, the result in terms of income would have grown 22%. In terms of EBITDA, This was placed located at 304 billion pesos, indicating a decrease as a result also of the sale of investments carried out in 2015, which means that the two periods are not comparable. Likewise, eliminating this effect, EBITDA would have grown 24%. Finally, the company's separate net profit would be 162 billion pesos. On the next slide, we can see the separate balance sheet for Grupo Argos. At the end of September, assets were 60 trillion pesos, liabilities 2 trillion, and equity 14 trillion. In terms of debt, as you can see on slide 14, as of September 30, 2016, Grupo Argos debt at a separate level was 1.44 trillion pesos. We highlight that throughout the year, we have paid off close to 208 billion pesos. At the end of the quarter, the indicator of gross debt over adjusted EBITDA indicator was 4.1x. And the 12-month EBITDA, it decreases as it eliminates the effect of the sale of investments carried out in 2015, for a value of 289 billion pesos. The balance in cash for the close of the quarter is 165 billion pesos for net debt over adjusted EBITDA indicator of 3.6x. The cost of the debt to date is 11.1%, in line with the macroeconomic conditions that have had an effect on inflation and other indicators. Our debt has a great variable component, with 53% tied to the CPI and 47% to IBR. This strategy of indexation are based on the fact that our businesses also reflect this effect through income. We highlight that according to our expectations and the trends we have seen recently, we can see towards the end of the year a more moderate inflation that will have a positive effect on decreasing the company's the cost of the company's debt, which is estimated at 8 billion pesos on a separate level and 46 billion pesos on a consolidated level for every 100 basis points of decrease of the average cost of debt. I would invite you to continue with the results of the cement business, which can be found on slides 17 through 19. During the third quarter of 2016, we highlight implementation of the Operational Excellence Program called BEST, which means building long-term sustainable operations. This has achieved tangible results with estimated savings of approximately 45 billion pesos in the year. For the company, CapEx and cost efficiency has become the number one priority, and we hope to continue providing significant progress in this area. We would also like to highlight the acquisition of the plant in Martinsburg, West Virginia, that besides providing the company a very relevant position in the United States, also provides it a risk-based balance due to geographic and market diversification. This transaction was recently approved by the FTC, and we hope that it will be closed successfully today. In the United States, we continue observing positive recovery through volumes, prices, and profitability. We also are very enthusiastic about the long-term perspectives for growth of the United States economy. Our acquisition of Martinsburg is proof of our trust in this market and a gamble on continuing infrastructure growth in that country. Following with the results of operations that you could find on slide 18, the quarter recorded decreased volumes while cement and concrete of 7.4% and 11.9% respectively, impacted by lower volumes in Colombia as a result of the market's current dynamic competitiveness and the effect of the transportation strike in the country, and also some delays in the beginning of some 4G infrastructure projects. As market leaders in the infrastructure sector, we were the company that was most impacted by a fall in the bulk cement demand, but we are very positive about the future of the Colombian market. We have the best value proposal and products designed specifically for infrastructure, and this has been reflected by the contracts that the company has closed to provide cement or concrete for 25 functional units of the first 4G wave. This represents close to 70% of success in the projects that we bid on. We highlight that despite the challenging competitive environment that exists in Colombia, the company's results were resilient during the third quarter due to a very successful geographic diversification strategy with very positive results in the United States, Caribbean, and Central American regions. Moving on to slide 19, the company's operational income was 6.7 trillion pesos as of September, 30% more over 2015's figure. EBITDA grew 40%, located at 1.3 trillion pesos, with an 18.7% EBITDA margin. We highlight that the United States region registered an EBITDA with a growth of 30.8%, reaching $49 million. These results were driven by growing cement and concrete prices, better operational leverage in the region, thanks to its improved efficiency. We'd also like to highlight the results for the Caribbean and Central America region that recorded an EBITDA of $47 million with a good margin of close to 33%, driven mainly by good performance in Honduras and Panama. Now let's move to the results of the energy business, which you could find on slides 20 to 23. At Celsia, we continue observing a trend of consolidation, especially in the generation business. The results of this quarter show the resilience and the focus of the company in its search for operational excellence that have led it to achieve outstanding results in recent quarters after having to deal with several very challenging months thanks to weather conditions and energy regulations in Colombia. Moving on to slide 22, in the area of generation, in Colombia, you can see that this was equal to 1,230 gigawatts hour for the quarter. This is an increase of 15% over the same period of last year, with a positive behavior in the component of hydraulic generation. On the other hand, the energy generation in Central America reported a growth of 1%, with the hydraulic plants increasing their generation 38%, thanks to improved hydrological conditions in Panama over the previous year. In the area of distribution and commercialization, sales volume in the regulated and unregulated market decreased slightly, 2.3%, regarding the third quarter of the previous year. This behavior can be explained by lower mean consumption due to a gradual normalization of temperatures. Despite this, the quarter's income due to distribution and sales increased 10.6% over the previous year, and these are explained mainly due to price increases, taking into account greater IPPs and IPCs due to a renegotiation of contracts in the unregulated market. Continuing with financial results that you could see on slide 23, the year-on-year aggregate income at Cencia is 3 trillion pesos, growing 28% compared to the same period the previous year. EBITDA to September was 775 billion pesos, almost 100 billion growth regarding the previous year's EBITDA, very close to a historical EBITDA margin for the company. Now let's look at the results of the concessions business, which you can find on slides 24 to 27 of the presentation. In the road concession business, the company moved forward to acquiring majority control for the Pacifico Dos project, moving from a previous participation of 25% to a participation of 78.85%. By exchanging its shares in other concessions where it was a minority shareholder, we would like to highlight that the project has already achieved financial closing thanks to local and international banks. The company also de-invested in the Santa Marta Port Association and continues with its plan for de-investing in or divesting its assets, its generation assets in Panama. Let's move on to operations results on slide 26. During the quarter, in the road concessions business, on the aggregate, continues showing solid growth. Autopistas del Café, the coffee highways, continues increasing its daily average traffic, and its collections that increased 4% and 9.6% respectively during the quarter. In turn, ADN and BTA concessions showed traffic increases of 8.3% and 11.5% respectively. And regarding airports, El Dorado registered a total of 8.1 million passengers in the quarter, which translates into a growth of 3.3% compared to the same quarter the previous year. In turn, the Mariscal Sucre Airport in the city of Quito reported a decrease of 8.3% in passenger traffic as a result of economic deceleration and lower operations of the Pamienta local airline. Moving on to the financial figures that you can see on the slide, on slide 27. Operational income as of September is equal to 735 billion pesos, growing 36%, mainly attributable to the consolidation of ADN and BTA as a result of having increased our participation in May 2016. Regarding the EBITDA, this was equal to 372 billion pesos, with a notable growth of 50%. Highlight that during the first 9 months of 2016, the EBITDA of the highway concession unit increased 87% as a consequence of the good performance of the coffee highways that increases a bit by 2% and due to the consolidation of our concessions in Dominican Republic. As was mentioned previously, Grupo Argos began consolidating Odinsa's results once it achieved controlling participation in the company, i.e. as of the fourth quarter of last year. Now let's move to the results of the real estate business that can be found between slides 28 and 31. Regarding to the real estate income business executed through Pactia, a private capital fund was constituted that will allow a Protección Pension Fund to enter as a third partner that will come in to contribute capital to this vehicle. We would also like to highlight that Grupo Argos is in the process of contributing this fund that will contribute the Santillana Business Center to this fund that will have an immediate impact on GLA, and that added to the contributions made in 26, leaves Grupo Argos with a total contribution this year to the fund of approximately 135 billion pesos. We would like to highlight that the Pactia continues maintaining a shareholding balance between its three partners, Concreta and Grupo Argos. It's also like to be highlighted that during this quarter, Pactia achieved closing for three new and interesting projects, including the construction of a Hilton Hotel in Corferias de Bogota that will have 420 rooms. A second, expansion of EPSA's headquarters in Yumbo in Valle del Cauca that will have a total area of 3,195 square meters. And finally, expansion of the Frito-Lay Distribution Center in Itagüí, Antioquia, that will increase its gross leasable area in 2,684 square meters. Situm, in turn, closed the sale of the El Volador plot, which is 182 hectares in Barranquilla. And this business had already been carried out in 2015. Plots in Barranquilla are also being written down for a total of 47.5 billion pesos. Regarding the company's project in Bari, we were very satisfied to receive Resolution 0330 from November 1, 2016, which approved the license for plotting a project called Cala Blanca, a project that will be developed by Arquitectura y Concreto, an important real estate development company in the city of Medellin that we hope will begin soon thanks to this resolution. Operational income for the urban development business, Pactia Plus Situm, during the third quarter of 2016 was 28.83 billion pesos, mostly explained by adjustment to the deeds for San Juan de Barranquilla, since during this time, final deeds were not issued. Accumulating income in September is 76 billion pesos, while EBITDA was 34 billion pesos during that same period. Now let's move, finally, to look at the results of the port business, which you can find between slides number 32 and 35. It's important to highlight that during the third quarter, Compass moved a total of 951,000 equivalent tons, including containers and bulk cargo. That was a slight decrease of 1.5%. Related to what it moved during the same quarter last year. The Barranquilla Zulu ports showed significant cargo growth of 54.2% and 43.4% respectively, while the Cartagena port decreased 38.7% derived from a consolidation and business with APM Terminals. The third quarter of the year has been challenging for the company as the mobilization of cargo and containers was affected by the trucker strike that greatly affected bulk cargo at Compass Ports. This strike that occurred during the month of July had a delayed effect during the month of August. Additionally, they had difficulties with the dredging of Barranquilla that didn't allow it to attend certain vessels at that port, while also observing a fall in import and export cargo in Cartagena. With regard to financial results, Compass operational income at the end of the third quarter was 29 billion pesos, registering a decrease of 22%. And this cannot be comparable because of the consolidation of the operation by CC2 by virtue of the agreement with APM Terminals in the Port of Cartagena, where Compass went from registering its results through the share method and went to having a minority participation of 49% in the general cargo and container cargo operations of this terminal. So this cannot be compared with last year's. The company's EBITDA for this period was 8 billion pesos with a 27% margin. I would like to end my intervention before moving on to the Q&A session, highlighting that just like last semester of last year, we would like to reaffirm our commitment to the market to position ourselves as a platform for regional growth with a clear strategic focus on high potential business, including cement, energy, concessions, and real estate. Our solid results reinforce our optimism and encourage us to continue looking for selective and profitable options for the growth of our affiliates consistently aligned with our strategy. Thank you for your presence at this conference, and I would like to invite the operator to begin the Q&A session. Now, I would like to remind you all that to ask any question, please press the asterisk followed by number one on the keyboard, asterisk one to ask questions. If you would like to remove your question at any time, just press the pound sign. We would like to ask for a question to be able to, for a delay. And your first question comes from the line of Jairo Agudelo from Bancolombia.
Yes, I have two questions to ask you. The first is regarding the Pactia business. When you mentioned that you made equity contributions, or the contribution going to make up the Santillana business tower, I would like to know if this completes the specific contributions you were going to make for these years, or are you going to make any other contributions? And together with the private capital fund for Ficción, could that private capital fund leverage that project so you would not have to make the equity contributions that you made, that you had committed, or would that be an additional contribution over and above what you had already agreed to with Concreto? And the second question is mostly regarding the expansion of the affiliates, of your affiliates, and specifically two companies, which are Odinsa and Celsia. I would like to know what you think about this project, if it can be achieved in the short term, because the results of Celsia have improved considerably. And the second thing regarding Odinsa, with the transaction that you just made with for the El Dorado Airport. The question is, what is the process of the energy companies in Chile, Paraguay? How much resources are you expecting to collect from that, and will those resources be enough to cover Olinsa's needs for the 40 highways, or will you need more leveraging to be able to carry out those projects? Jairo, thank you very much. The question has several chapters, so let's go part by part with this, because they're very interesting points regarding our organization. So the first point of the contributions to Pactia, to the real estate fund, I remember the structure was to have put our real estate assets. They were in an autonomous equity of the capital fund, equity fund, where Protección considered a partner. I'm going to give the floor to Alejandro Piedraita so he could talk about the structure, but the managing company continues being 50% Concreto, 30% us, but there's access to the fund where the real estate assets will be part. I'm going to give the word to Alejandro so you can talk about that, and then we can talk about Celsia, Porvenir, and Olinsa. Jairo, good morning. Topic of Pactia, I think we're on the right path, and that gives great flexibility for growth for this private capital fund. And I'm going to explain the dynamic of the transaction. With these contributions that ended 2016 that are close to 155 billion pesos, towards 2018, we would have to contribute another 180 billion pesos. With Protección's entrance, the contributions they're going to provide are contributions to 2018 to up to 600 billion additional pesos additionally. So what does this allow us to do? This allows us to do two things. First of all, the company has an equity capacity. In this case, it has much stronger capacity to leverage new projects and to get them out more quicker. So with this equity, we can, from Protection, we can increase the size of the pie a lot more quicker, always focused on profitable projects and being very careful within the market. But this also means that the 188 billion pesos, that we wouldn't have to make the 180 billion peso contributions, but within the negotiation, both Concreto and Grupo Arcos have the option, so we have the right, but not the obligation, that if equity contributions were required, we could make those contributions, but we are not obligated to do so. And so with the contributions coming in from Protección, today we have no obligation to provide an extra 182 billion before 2018. The contribution we made of 135 billion pesos are cut off, but the private equity fund continues with the possibility for expansion thanks to this contribution of Protección. And so if you don't make this contribution of 180 billion, would you still, because it has been said that you would have 50% after you had made all those contributions, are Concreto not going to do it? This is very important within the structure, and Pactia presented it. There are two vehicles. One is the managing company, that's in charge of making a lot of the decisions, where and Coco Creto does have 50% participation, so the political decisions are still made 50-50 by Coco Creto Grupo Argos. The private equity fund is related to the economic position. For the economic position, both Coco Creto and us are diluted, but the important is that we are diluted economically. And Proficio comes with the participation of close to 4%, but with the idea that there will be a larger pie. So we're diluted through the private equity fund, but in the managing company, which makes the political decisions, then we are still have a 50% participation. Okay, thanks. Right. So I'm going to move on to the second question that deals with Porvenir. And Porvenir 2 is a project that Celsia is continuing to structure with a very solid team of professionals with a lot of energy and dedication to take the project to a point where, at the point where we decide to start it, the levels of uncertainty will be as low as possible. In that sense, the company is moving out of a series of bids, of civil works, electrical works, access roads, etc. The water inventory, water table inventory is being finished. Consultations are being carried out with the low number of inhabitants of the region, and all the processes for structuring the project's engineering are being carried out. We believe that it is very important for a project of this size to reduce as far as possible the degree of uncertainty with in-depth analysis of bids, with excellent engineering, and with all the land and license related issues solved. So during the first semester of 2017, I would hope that the company can make a decision on the future of that project, and we would decide when it would be carried out and also the structure to be used for it. So the progress is very positive, very satisfactory. It's a project that has very good indicators from an environmental point of view. The flooded area for the project is 8 times less than equivalent projects. The environmental impact is minimal compared to the all other projects. But despite all those things, we want to have the greatest degree of certainty regarding not just figures, but also how the project construction process will be carried out. This is very critical for this type of initiative, so we're moving forward with a lot of, with great optimism, and I hope that in that next year we will be able to make a decision with all the elements on the table. In the case of Odinta, well, I think that it was mentioned additionally in the conference call, Odinta is concentrated on two operations, which are ADN and BTA in Dominican Republic, and in Colombia too. These are mature projects, and this provides great stability for the company. At both of these, it's the controlling shareholder, and so it's consolidated results. The two projects under construction, a private IPP, which is the road network for the Llanos region, and another one, which is Pacífico Dos. In both of these, it has a controlling participation, and Pacífico Dos is part of the first wave, one of the most interesting projects, because it already has full environmental license. 97% of its plots have been sold. It has guarantees of future licenses in dollars. It has differential traffic guarantees. It's a project that altogether, not just from an engineering point of view, but also from a financial structuring point of view, is one of the most interesting projects of three waves of 4G that have been bid, tendered. Also the 30% additional participation of Grupo Arcos in the El Dorado Airport that has also been growing satisfactorily. That means that Olinsa has a very balanced pipeline with controlling positions amongst the assets that it has to build and the assets it has to operate and improve, the ones I've already mentioned in the past. Also regarding the Olinsa divestiture process, I would comment that the processes are continuing. Both the Gena generation plant and the Genpack generation plant in Panama and Chile. It is an open process with tenders from interested parties. It hasn't concluded, so I just want to tell you that these processes are active and we're making positive progress with both of them. Regarding divestiture of 10% of the Santa Marta Port Association, this week it was the closing was announced, and there's a consortium that has interesting participation, and they will now have 20% of participation in this corporation. That represents for Olinsa close to 40 billion pesos from divestiture. It did because it didn't make sense to have minority participation in a port association, especially because we already have sufficiently large portfolio of port investments on both the Atlantic and Pacific. At the beginning of last week, the Aguadulce project entered into operation. This is important not just for the country, but for Copec. Close to $450 million have been invested with the Singapore Port Authority and has 14.5 m of natural berthing area, and its size for post-Panamax vessels and building an important area for bulk cargo, and it will be the most important port on the Pacific Coast. This is an account of our divestiture processes. The next question, Catherine Ortiz from Corredores Davivienda.
Hello, good morning. Can you hear me?
Hello.
Yes, good morning.
Thank you very much for the results. I have two questions. One, a follow-on from Jairo Abulellos's previous question regarding the Porvenir 2 project. Can you tell us if it is implemented, how would that project be financed, and how much would it cost? Are we talking about the same amount
the same amount we were talking about previously of about $850 billion. And the second question is regarding what you mentioned earlier about urban development in Peru. I'd like to know the size of that project in terms of square meters, hectares. What's the experience of the construction company in this type of project, and how much time could it take for development? And my final question is, I would like to have more details about the progress on the investments to finance Olinsa and Opain, a little bit more detail. What's the land portfolio for these two acquisitions and other assets in the portfolio? And could you give us an idea of what the debt indicator will look like after this? Thank you, Catherine. Good morning, step by step, porvenir dos. As I mentioned, we're undergoing a much more detailed bidding process. They're not binding bids, but they do indicate the details that will allow us to fine-tune the final figures for the cost of the project. And that's why we're investing this time in a lot of engineering and a lot of planning projects and learning a lot of detail of all the figures. We are estimating a cost of investing close to $800 million in the project. This is a project that generates 352 megawatts. And we estimate close to $2 billion per megawatt. And this is a very good compacted concrete, rolled concrete dam. And so the location of the dam is close to 12 kilometers from one of Argo's generation plants and cement production plants, and it has imported limestone, imported limestone production. So the World Concrete Dam construction will be a great asset to this, where we don't really know about the a financing process. This will be worked to us. We have the final figure, but Ascensia's operational results are very satisfactory. Recovery of cash flow levels, lower of debt indexes in this EBITDA provided with a much more comfortable situation than we had previously, and this gives us much greater productivity, and there will always be good range of options for financing this project, and can invite investors into execution, invite other partners. All alternatives are being studied by Sensia, but what's important is that it's a project with wonderful indicators, with great efficiency, very reasonable company, project that has very low environmental impact. So we believe it will be a project that will generate great value for this organization. When we have a more definite price for the project, we will study some of the financing alternatives that I mentioned, but they're all on the table. The second question was regarding Baru. The size of the project, this is a project that we're going to develop on land that we own. There would be four stages of construction to be developed by Arquitectura y Concreto. One of the most
reputable companies with the greatest reputation for real estate development on close to 60 hectares of land. There would be a five-star hotel, a beach club, and approximately 200 residences distributed between townhouses and beach houses, with a great care for the environment, with very beautiful ecotropical forests that will protect the area. So it's 60 hectares in a very privileged location in Colombia. We're very excited about this project. Grupo Argos role through real estate development is to contribute the land, and we expect income of close to 100 billion pesos, as we've already got the urbanization environmental licenses and Arquitectura Concreto who are in charge of the development are now moving on with the selling and development process. So this is a very interesting project for development. Regarding your third question, which was progress of the investment in certain real estate businesses, I'm going to give the floor to Alejandro. And that complements what Jorge Mario was mentioning regarding the structure of the Porvenir project. And something that I think is fundamental to be understood is that all greenfield projects in the world, in terms of energy, like concessions, most of them have a very important project finance contribution. And once one has a majority contribution because of these rules, we are obliged to consolidate our results from the point of view of credit risk. So the point of view of our credit rating institutions, this isn't taken into account in the leveraging indicators. Why do I make this announcement? Because when we're going to consolidate Grupo Argos OFAID also have a leveraging level which is above 1 trillion pesos, which is 1 trillion pesos that we're going to start consolidating. But when one looks at OFAID's financing structure, that indebtedness without resources, that project financing type indebtedness, and this is the type of structure that we're going to continue seeing in many of these projects, which is also the global best practice for project financing. So I think that's very important because it's something that you will see recurring, not just with Porvenir, but also with other projects that Celsia is also doing with Scarlet Debt regarding financing for these and OFAID large figures. Let's remember that we have had a divesting strategy that has two blocks. One block is shares. We continue with our divesting for controlling strategic business. This year, we've divested preferential Suramericana shares and ordinary common Bancolombia stock. This has given us resources for close to 280 billion pesos, but we've also been doing extremely careful work with the CITUM group to look at the sale of assets and land that we believe are now mature, and that from an equity point of view for Grupo Argos, this is an efficient way to place that money in other locations. Those investments are close to 200 billion pesos. So if you add together those two figures, we have close to 480 billion pesos in resources to finance Olinsa and Opain. However, we are looking at other kinds of investments that are currently ongoing in the real estate business to be able to fund these projects completely. In the case of Olinsa, we're talking about an operation that could be at about 845 billion pesos. In our analysis,
We believe that this will be 60-70%, so this means that what we would have to deliver in cash is close to 250 to 300 billion pesos. We have that money from the investments in Sura and Bancolombia, as you mentioned. And then we have Opaín. At Opaín, remember that it's a transaction of 480 billion pesos that is divided into two payments. A first payment that has to be carried out with serious deadlines and has to be achieved this year, and that other one to be made in May. That's close to 290 billion pesos for this year, and out of those 290 billion pesos, there's an important component in cash because of the investments in real estate, and at the end, we're going to have additional resources from close to 70-75 billion pesos initially, and with that, we're going to have the full cash. We may need to have some very short-term credits, depending on the timing of those asset sales, but that won't significantly affect our indicators at a given time. Regarding questions of the indicator, the gross debt over EBITDA for this year is 4.1, and our estimate with all I was explaining earlier is that by December, that indicator will be closer to 3 times. So as you can see, what we're seeing is a strategy to assign our resources effectively and moving mature land to other projects like Olinza and Ocaín. Okay, two follow-up questions. Would Opaín be consolidated by Olinza or Grupo Arcos? And the second is, the land that you invested, 200 billion pesos, what area are we talking about at the average sales price for square meter? First one, the consolidation is done by us as Grupo Arcos. Why? Because remember that today, Olinza holds 35% of Opaín, so it doesn't consolidate. And we would have 30% directly from in Opaín, but because we have a participation of 35% from Olinza, then we would have a majority participation of 65%. And so Grupo Arcos does consolidate Opaín once the transaction is closed. On the other hand, we can talk about average averages in land sales is very dangerous. Why? Because each type of land, depending on its use, has different average values. So what we can do is we can publish it on the website, and we can send you an email with greater detail and telling you the breaking down the land that was sold in Barranquilla with its type of use and et cetera, because if we tried to consolidate that, we would have errors or we could inflate what it looks like. So, perfect. Thank you very much. The next question, Edgar Romero from BBVA. Good morning. Thank you for your presentation. You've answered some of my questions. I have one regarding the land in Barú. Last week, the Constitutional Court brought down a neighboring plot. How do you feel that this will impact you? And do you think it's a risk so that in the future you might have a problem related to this sentence? And the other one is to know the cost of the sale of the 182-hectare plot and to talk about the entry of Protección. I would like to know the estimates we have for the end of 2017 regarding that autonomous equity. What would
your participation, Profecio's participation, and Coca-Cola's participation look like? Okay, so I'm going to talk about the first point. Effectively, last week, there was a sentence that stated that a prior consultation would have to be carried out in the community as the area of influence of the project you mentioned. This is beside an area known as Playa Blanca, which is a property to the south of, far to the south of Grupo Argo's property on that island. In our case, our land doesn't have any population whatsoever. In Playa Blanca, there are some settlements of population, and so the project needs to consult with the populations, but this is necessary only in that area of Playa Blanca. In our area, there are no communities present, and all the consultation process and the environmental licenses and the licenses for urbanization has already been executed and approved by the authorities. So in our case, it has no effect. And as I mentioned, the project is already being sold and on the market, so it doesn't apply to us. The second point is about the sale of the plot called El Volador to Amarillo. It was a sale for over 108 billion pesos, and the managing company, the equity company, there's a 50 participation between Grupo Argo and Grupo Concreto, which makes the political decisions for the fund. And regarding with Protección's entry, Concreto 47%, Argos with 37%, and Protección with 16% with its contribution. Okay, thank you very much. Second question, Carlos Rodriguez from CreditCorp Capital. Good morning. Thank you very much for your conference. I have two questions. The first is regarding ODINSA, and I would like to know what would happen if ODINSA can't make the de-investments and you can't reach an agreement with GENA and GENPAC. What alternatives exist, or when could there be a capitalization by Grupo Argos? The second question, I'd like to repeat the targets of gross debt and net debt over EBITDA for July 2017. Carlos, yes. The investments are moving forward satisfactorily, and there are several parties interested in them, so I don't think it's very probable that they won't occur, but in any case, that's a part of the resources the company has, but there are others that we already mentioned, such as the investment in other participations, including the what is the port association that we just did, mentioned, and other ones, other real estate that aren't necessarily operational that can cover the equity needs, the capital needs it has. So Olinta has several different options for the investments, including the ones that we're working on right now, and financial flexibility to guarantee the funds that needs to contribute to the project. And as we mentioned, there are two construction projects, but there are also important cash flows from stable and mature projects. So from both the Hospital del Café and the projects in Dominican Republic. And so Olinsta has good internal capital prospects to be able to cover its equity needs. And so I'm going to give the floor to Alejandro so he can tell you once again about the targets of gross and net debt over EBITDA. So there's one thing that's very important to remember, and it's the indicators. When we talk about debt over EBITDA, we use something called the adjusted EBITDA. The adjusted EBITDA is a separate statement. This has a lot of elements that don't necessarily represent cash flow, and so the rating institutions oblige us to make certain adjustments going from accounting EBITDA to adjusted EBITDA, and I'll tell you why that's relevant. We have to remove a participation in associated and controlled companies, and we have to add the income from controlled companies. We need to remove the results from accounting activities, financial accounting activities. We have to add the results from the investments. This calculation is available on the website with all the historical detail required, so you can have that information. So that's the EBITDA that reflects the cash position for Group Warnaco in a separated manner. If one looks at the EBITDA for September 2016, that ends with a leveraging level of close to 1.4 trillion, which is an increase in leverage of close to 200 billion pesos. This means that our gross debt over EBITDA is close to 4.1 times. Since in December, we will have the product of other the investments. Our estimate is that adjusted EBITDA will increase. This increase, given a debt balance, which could be slightly higher than 1.44, the product of those adjustments I mentioned earlier, means that our indicator will close at close to 3 times EBITDA. So that would be the way in which we're closing the leveraging indicator for 2016. Okay, the final question, please, regarding the 4G project, specifically the Pacifico project, I'd like to know what are the equity contributions going to look like, if they're 100% equity or if they're leveraged, and what was the negotiation with banks regarding the banking guarantees, and how liquid were those requirements by the banks. Financing has an equity component of 30%, and 70% is debt, which, as was already explained at the Alinsa conference, has one section which is international with the Bapito, and remaining about $250 million. There's an equivalent portion of close to 450 billion pesos in pesos granted by Banco de Bogotá, Dow Vivienda in this case. This credit facility has already been closed out and got very competitive conditions for the Intel. So we'll have to contribute 30% of equity over the next 3 years of the construction of 6 functional units. The first functional unit is the first unit between La Pitada and Primavera was already delivered very satisfactorily in October. And the other stages of the project that includes the construction of a dual carriageway between La Pitada and Bolombolo, the construction of a double tunnel, 5 kilometers of tunneling in Mulato, and the bridges over the Cauca River will begin or should begin through a consortium between Adinsad, Construcciones del Cotto, which will create great synergy within construction, because Construcciones del Cotto is the construction company for Pacifico 3, which is neighboring to the Pacifico 2. So this project has already begun and was financed in this manner. Okay, thank you very much. Welcome. This ends the Q&A
the Q&A session. We would like to give the floor to the panel members for final words. Thank you very much for being with us. Thank you very much for your questions. The investor relations team and all of us at Grupo Argos are available for answering any additional questions. More greetings to the group of analysts and investors that are visiting some of Argos Cements that are accompanying us today. I hope that you have a very good visit to this plant, and thank you once again on behalf of this team, your company at this conference. Thank you very much. This concludes today's conference. We'd like to thank you all for your participation. You may now disconnect.